A Mad World, My Masters, by Thomas Middleton, adapted for radio by Peter Barnes. A Street in London, the year 1606.
Principal.
Lieutenant Morwell.
What shall I call you, Dick? The noble spark of bounty, the lifeblood of society.
Call me your future, Master Hoboy. When you come drunk out of a tavern, it is I who must always make plots to maintain a company of villains like yourself, whom I love in my very soul and conscience. Hang you. You've bewitched me. My grandfather had hopes for me. I went all in black, swore but a Sundays, and never came home drunk. Sid, now I'm quite altered, blown into light colours, let out oaths by the minute, sit up late till it be early, drink drunk till I'm sober. It's a transformation. I was wont yet to pity the simple and leave them some money. Sid, now I cheat them without conscience. I swear without number, cheat without mercy, and drink without measure. And now I'm put in the mind of a trick, girls. You all know the possibilities of my future fortunes and the whim of my grandfather's about his progress, whose death makes all possible for me. I shall have all when he has nothing. But now he has all and I shall have nothing. But they love to keep us sober all the while they're alive, that when they're dead we may drink to their healths. They cannot abide to see us merry all the while they're above ground, and they make so many laugh at their father's funerals. I know my grandfather has a will in the box, and has bequeathed all to me when he can carry nothing away. But if I stood in need of £10 now, by his will, I should hang myself ere I should get it. Then since he has no will to do me good as long as he lives, by mine own will, I'll do myself good before he dies. And now I arrive at the purpose. You are not ignorant, I'm sure, you true and necessary implements of mischief. First, that my grandfather Sir Bounteous Progress is a knight of thousands, that he keeps a house like his name, Bounteous, open for all comers. Thirdly, and lastly, that he glories in his hospitality, variety of entertainment, together with the largeness of his kitchen, longitude of his buttery, and fecundity of his larder, and thinks himself never happier than when some stiff lord or great countess alights to make light his dishes. Well, these being well mixed together may give my scheme better encouragement. To be short and cut off a great deal of dirty way, I'll go down to my grandfather disguised as a lord.
How, Captain?
Well, a French ruff, a thin beard, and a strong perfume will do it. You will come with me dressed as my servant.
A pretty day.
Will you desire money, gold crowns?
From the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, Captain.
Yeah. Why, carry yourselves properly as servants and carry away money enough for yourselves. Look, I see Master Pennant and Brothel approach.
Let's away, and I are our servants, Blue Coat.
Sweet Master Pennant.
Sweet Master!
Pennant and Brothel!
He has a mad brain, whose pranks scorn to have precedence. Hating imitation, a fellow whose only glory is to be first of the company, to be sure of which he maintains all the rest. He's the carrion, and they the kites that gorge upon him. But why in others do I censure wild passions and retain deadly follies in myself? I tax his youth of riots, times, comic flashes, and the fruits of blood, and in myself soothe up adulterous feelings, and such an appetite that I know damns me, yet willingly embrace it. I want to love and enjoy Master Harebrain's wife, over whose hours and pleasures her sick husband watches every waking moment. Therefore I'm constrained to use a courtesan, who Master Harebrain, without suspicion, innocently admits into his wife's company. Before his face, she plots his own downfall. See, here she comes. The secret courtesan, whose mother is her board.
Master Pennant and Brothel.
My little pretty Lady Galman. The news, Francesca, the news.
You are a fortunate man, Master Penitent. There wants but opportunity, and she's wax of your own fashioning. Oh. She had wrought herself into the form of your love before my art set finger to her.
Did our affections meet? Our thoughts keep time.
The only jar is in the grumbling base vial, her husband.
Oh, his waking suspicions.
Sorry not, Master Penitent. Trust the managing of the business with me. 'Tis for my credit now to see it well finished. If I do you no good, sir, you shall give me no money, sir.
There's gold waiting, dear lady, if you fashion her to my purpose.
Farewell, lady.
A token from thy keeper, dear Francesca.
Oh, from Sir Bounteous Progress. He's my keeper indeed, but there's many a piece of venison stolen that my keeper does not know of. There's no park kept so secure but loses flesh one time or other, and no woman kept so privately but may watch advantage to make the best of her pleasure. And in common reason, one keeper cannot be enough for so proud a park as a woman.
Every part of the world shoots up daily into more subtlety. The very spider weaves her web with more art and cunning to entrap the fly. The shallow ploughman can distinguish now twixt simple truth and a dissembling brow. How dost behove us, then, that live by cunning sleight, to have our wits wound up to their stretched height? 15 times, thou knowest, I've sold thy maidenhead to make up a dowry for thy marriage, and yet there's maidenhead enough for old Sir Bounteous still. The sums that I have told upon thy pillow, remember, girl, when thou spy'st a fool that truly pities the false springs of thine eyes and honourably dotes upon thy love, if he be rich, set him by for a husband. Be wisely tempered and learn this, my wench. Who gets the reputation of a virtuous name may sin at pleasure and ne'er think of shame.
Mother, I am too deep a scholar grown to learn my first rules now.
I say no more. Peace, hark, remove thyself. Oh, the two elder brothers.
Fair hour, sweet lady.
Good morrow, gentlemen, Master Inez and Master Posset.
Where's the little sweet lady, your daughter?
Even at her book, Master Inez.
So religious.
From an infant, Master Posset.
May we deserve a sight of her, lady?
Upon that condition, you will promise me, gentlemen, to avoid all profane talk, wanton compliments, indecent phrases, and lascivious courtings, which I know my daughter will sooner die than endure. I am contented your suit shall be granted.
Not a bawdy syllable, I.
Indeed, your one syllables are your bawdiest words. Prick that down.
May make night work on't. He caps and caught his arm stroll most of the night. Now you keep watch, watchman.
I will, Master Harebrain.
The truth is there is a cunning plot laid, but happily discovered, to rob my house. The night, uncertain when, but fixed within the circle of this month. Nor does this villainy consist in numbers or many partners. Only someone shall, in the form of my familiar friend, be received privately into my house by some perfidious servant of mine own. If you be faithful, watchman, show your goodness, and with these gold coins, shore up your eyelids. Let me not be purloined. There is a wifely gem I would not lose, kept by the Italian under lock and key. We Englishmen are careless creatures. Well, I've said enough.
And I won't do enough, sir.
Aye, well said. Now watch me a good turn now. So. Rise, villainy, with the lark. Why, 'tis frustrated. Oh, Lady Gulman.
Good evening, sir.
My wife's only company, welcome. And how does the virtuous matron, that good old gentlewoman, thy mother? I persuade myself, if modesty be in the world, she has part on't. A woman of an excellent carriage all her lifetime in court, city, and country.
She has always carried it well in those places, sir. Witness 3 bastards apiece. How does your sweet bedfellow, sir? You see, I'm her boldest visitor.
And welcome, sweet virgin, the only companion my soul wishes for. I left her within at her lute. Prithee, give her good counsel.
Oh, alas, she needs none, sir.
Yet, a little of thy instructions will not come amiss to her.
I'll bestow my labor, sir.
Do labor her, prithee. I have conveyed away all her wanton pamphlets as Hero and Leander, Venus and Adonis. Here, prithee take the first book of the Christian exercise pertaining to resolution, and read to her a little.
Oh, she has set up her resolution already, sir.
True, and this will confirm it the more. There's a chapter about hell in it. It is good to read this cold weather. Terrify her. Go read to her the horrible punishments for itching wantonness, the pains allotted for adultery. Tell her her thoughts, her very dreams are answerable. Say so. Rip up the life of a courtesan and show how loathsome 'tis.
The gentleman would persuade me in time to disgrace myself and speak ill of mine own function. I'll go to her, sir.
This is the course I take. I'll teach the married man a new selected strain. I admit none but this pure virgin to her company. Well, that's enough. I'll keep her to her stint. I'll put her to her pension. She gets but her allowance, and that's a bare one. Nay, I'll put her hard to't. I'll go spy them out now.
Fain would I meet the gentleman. Hush, fain would you meet him, Mistress Harebrain?
I'll watch in the shadows. I cannot hear them, but how earnestly Lady Gelman belabours my wife and wags her finger. She will prevail, I hope.
What is the means? I would as gladly to enjoy his sight and breathe.
Shall I have hearing? Listen.
She looks angry with her, Ifeth.
When husbands in their rank suspicions dwell, then 'tis our best art to dissemble well. Put but these notes in use that I'll direct you. He'll curse himself that e'er he did suspect you. Perhaps he will solicit you, as in trial, to visit such and such, still give denial. Neglect or entertain. If he bring in strangers, keep you your chamber. Be not seen. If he chance steal upon you, let him find some book lie open against an unchaste mind and quoted scriptures, though for your own pleasure you read some stirring pamphlet and convey it under your skirt, the fittest place to lay it. The way to daunt is to outvie suspicion. Manage these principles, but with art and life. Welcome all nations. Thou art an honest wife.
Ah, she makes a point. But I must creep away, else I am discovered.
Here, lady, convey my heart unto him in this jewel. In the mean season, tell him I am a prisoner yet of my husband's jealousy, that masters him as he doth master me, and as a keeper that locks prisoners up is himself prisoned under his own key.
I'll tell him how you wish it.
Oh, I owe you more than thanks, but that I hope my husband will requite it.
Think you so, lady? He has small reason for it.
What? Done so soon? Away, toot again, good wench, toot again.
Faith, I'm weary, sir. I cannot change her strict opinion with all my arguments.
No? What opinion is it here?
Foolishly and willfully, she retains that thought that every sin is damned.
Oh, fie, wife, pee, for shame. That's a diabolical opinion indeed. Then you may think that usury were damned. You're a fine merchant, Ifeth. Or bribery, you know the law well. Or sloth, what some of the clergy heard you, Ifeth. Or pride, you come at court. Or gluttony, you're not worthy to dine at an alderman's table. Your only deadly sin's adultery. 'Tis only lechery that's damned to the bithole. That's an arch offence, believe it, dear. All sins are venial but venereal.
I've said as much to her.
And she will be ruled by you. I'll pawn my credit on't. Come hither, lady. I will not altogether rest ingrateful. Here, wear this ruby for thy pains and counsel.
Oh, it is too much, sir. I am a very ill counsellor, truly.
Oh, go to, I say. Farewell, sweet virgin. Prithee, let's see thee oftener.
With such gifts you will.
Wife, as thou lovest the quiet of my breast, embrace her counsel. Yield to her advices. I will find comfort in them in the end. Thou'lt feel an alteration. Prithee, think on't. Mine eyes can scarce refrain.
Keep in your due, sir, lest when you would cry, you have no tears left.
You have been too much like your name, Sir Bounteous. You have given us all good food, good hunting, good linen on our bed and night. There is never such a splendidly open house in the whole of the countryside.
Oh, not so, good knight, not so. You know my humour. You are always welcome, good Cobalt. Most welcome.
Thanks, good Sir Bounteous.
It gives me strange joy to entertain knights such as he.
Oh, cry your worship heartily mercy, sir.
How now? Whose footman art thou?
Pray, can your worship tell me? If my lord be welcome, he will be with you straight.
Thy lord? What lord?
My lord Omuch, sir.
Oh, my lord Omuch. I have heard much speech of that lord. He has great acquaintance in the city. That lord has been much followed.
And is still, sir. He wants no company when he's in London.
Yeah, much fine rumour have I heard of that lord, yet had I never the fortune to set eye upon him. Art sure he wants to stay here, footman? I'm afraid thou might be mistook. Did he name the house with the great turret over top?
No faith did he not, sir.
Did he speak of a cloth of gold chamber?
Not one word by my troth, sir.
Was there no talk of an organ, a great gilt candlestick, and a pair of silver snuffers?
'Twas sin to belie my lord. I heard no such word, sir.
Or was there no speech of a long dining room, a huge kitchen, large meat, and a broad food board? Who did he name? Who did he wish to stay with?
Why, one Sir Bounteous Progress.
Ha 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 ha. I am that Sir Bounteous, you progressive roundabout rascal. Ah, there's not a lord will miss me. 'Tis a fortune laid upon me. They can send out their best entertainment. I have a kind of gift given me above ordinary country knights, and how soon 'tis smelt out. I warrant ye there's not one knight in the shire able to entertain a lord or a lady like me. There's a kind of grace belongs to it, a kind of art which naturally slips from me. I know not on't, I promise you. 'Tis gone before I'm aware on't. Oh, cuds me, I forget myself.
Where? Where?
Does your worship call?
Ah, run, sirrah, call in my chief steward, Master Gunwater, and pray go tell Lord Omuch and his men to enter. And how does my good lord? I never saw him before in my life.
My lord has travelled this 5 years, sir.
Who travelled this 5 year?
Your worship.
Ah, come hither, Master Gunwater, come hither. Now send presently to Master Pheasant for one of his hens. There is partridge
and wild duck, and please your worship.
And woodcock, and please thy worship.
And please your worship, I have thought to have spoke before you.
Remember the pheasant? Down with some plover, clap down 6 woodcocks. My lord is coming, I can hear him approach. Dispatch, I say, dispatch. Now, where's my music? He comes.
Bounteous will never recognize his grandson Dick Follywit in this lord's disguise. You moorwoman hoboy, stay silent as my servants.
Captain.
Well, let's hope the cherry the footman plays his part.
He will, sure, Dick.
Lord Omuch. Footman.
My lord.
Run swiftly with my commendations to Sir Jasper Topaz. We'll ride and visit him in the morning, say.
Your lordship's charge shall be effective.
That courtly, comely form shall present to me some bounteous Progress.
You've found me out, my lord. I cannot hide myself. Your honour is most spaciously welcome.
Oh, in this forgive me, sir, that being a stranger to your house and you, I make my way so bold, and presume rather upon your kindness than your knowledge. Only your bounteous disposition fame hath divulged, and is to me well known.
Nay, and your lordship know my disposition. You know me better than they that know my person. Your honour is so much the welcomer for that.
Thanks, good Sir Bounteous.
Pray, pardon me. It's often been my ambition, my lord, both in respect of your honourable presence and the prodigal fame that keeps even straight with your unbounded worthiness, to have wished your lordship where your lordship is, a noble guest in this unworthy seat. My lord, I have a request.
To me, Sir Bounteous? Hmm? And you can ne'er speak of fitter time, for I'm here present to grant you.
Your lordship has been a traveller.
Oh, some 5 years,
huh? I have a grandchild, my lord, Dick Follywit. I love him, and when I die, I'll do somewhat for him. I tell your honour the worst of him. A wild lad he's been.
So we've been all, sir.
So we have been all indeed, my lord. I thank your lordship's assistance. Some comic pranks he's been guilty of, but I'll pawn my credit for him on honest, trusty bosom.
And that's worth all, sir.
And that's worth all indeed, my lord, for he's like to have all when I die. Beardless youth. His chin has no more prickles yet than a midwife's. Shall I be bold with your honour to hire this aforesaid Ganymede for your household?
Well, you round both his worth and your bounty, and you call that boldness? Sir, I've heard much good of that young gentleman.
Yeah, he has a good witty face, my lord.
He's carried himself always generously.
Ah, oh, you advised of that, my lord. He has carried many things cleanly. I'll show your lordship my will. I keep it above in an outlandish box. The horseman boy must have all. I love him, yet he shall ne'er find it as long as I live.
Well, sir, for your sake and his own deserving, I'll reserve a place for him in the household.
I understand your good lordship. You'll make him your secretary. Oh, you must pardon us, my lord. I was not prepared. This bedroom has a hard down bed, defaced, my lord, and poor cambric sheets. Oh, the curtains, though, were wrought in Venice with the story of the prodigal child in silk and gold. Only the swine are left out, my lord, for spoiling the curtains.
It was well prevented, sir.
Silken rest, harmonious slumbers, and venereal dreams to your lordship.
With a like too kind, Sir Bounteous.
Oh, fie not to me, my lord. I'm old and past dreaming of such vanities.
Oh, men should dream best.
There are dreams indeed, my lord. Tomorrow, your lordship shall see my cocks, my fishponds, my park, my broad acres.
Sir Bounteous, you inwhelm me with delight.
Once again, a musical night to your honor. I'll trouble your lordship no more.
Good rest, Sir Bounteous.
Come, Masters Moreworm and Hoboy! Where be the face masks?
In your lordship's portmanteau.
Let's put them on. Then, disguised as thieves, we'll steal what we can from the house.
Right, plot, Captain.
Though guilt condemns, 'tis guilt must make us glad.
To our business.
But masked. Always masked.
Now, Grandfather, you that hold me at hard meat and keep me out at a distance, I'll fit you. Under his lordship's leave, all must be mine, he and his will confesses. What I take, then, is but a borrowing of so much beforehand. I'll pay him again when he dies. Let him clothe me in gold, and I'll lap him in lead in his coffin, quid pro quo. I must look none of his gold coins in the face, forsooth, until his face be not worth looking on. Dud, lads! Let fathers and grandsires keep us low. We must live when they're flesh as well as when they're dust.
Though he be my grandfather's chief gentleman, I'll have no pity on him. Come on, lads.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Come with your master. The servants are all bound.
There's one care past, then, Cherry.
Come, follow me, lads. I'll lead you now to the point and top of all your fortunes. Yon is my grandfather's bedroom.
Oh, he is a captain worth the following.
And a wit worth a man's love and admiring.
Who knocks? Thieves, sir, thieves!
What countryman thieves are you?
Lincolnshire men, sir.
I'm glad of that, Faith.
Why should you be glad of that?
Oh, the honestest thieves have all come out of Lincolnshire, the kindest natured gentlemen. Mm. They'll rob a man with conscience. They have a feeling of what they go about and will steal with tears in their eyes.
But money, money, we come for thy money.
Oh, is that all you come for? Oh, what a beast was I to invest my money t'other day. Pray, come again another time.
Tut, sir! Money.
Oh, so proud, sir. Shh. You're too shrill a gentleman. I have a lord lies in my house. I would not for the world his honour should be disquieted.
Oh, my lord, oh much. He lies bound in his bed and all his followers.
Who? My lord? Bound my lord? Alas, what did you mean to bind my lord? He could keep to his bed well enough without binding. You've undone me in it already. You've been robbed me no farther.
Where's the key to your money chest?
I perceive you're no true Lincolnshire spirit. You come rather out of Bedfordshire. We cannot lie quiet in our beds for you.
Bind him!
Come, bind me. I've need on't. I've been too liberal tonight. Nay, as hard as you list. How good of me to bear my lord company.
We have found his money chest and key.
Oh, sir. Play metal not with my organ or you'll put it out of tune.
Oh, no, here's better music.
Ah, pox feast on you.
Dispatch with him, away.
So thank you, good grandfather. This was bounteously done of him, i' faith. It came somewhat hard from him at first, for indeed nothing comes stiff from an old man but money. And he may well stand upon that when he has nothing else to stand upon.
Morwen, ho boy, where's our portmanteau?
Here, brother captain.
In with the booty. It will lie safe enough there under his nose, I warrant you. What, is all sure?
All secure, captain.
You know what follows now. We must be all bound for our own security.
Huh?
Well, there's no dallying upon the point. You understand me. Lord Omuch is to be found bound in the morning, and all his followers.
Oh, terrible spirit.
But if we bind one another, how shall the last man be bound?
The fox aren't. I'll have the footman escape.
That's I thank you, sir.
The footman, of all other, would be supposed to escape, for he comes in no bed all night, but lies in clothes to be ready first in the morning. The horse and he lies in litter together. Well, that's the right fashion of your bonny footman. And his freedom will make the better for our purpose, for we must have one in the morning to unbind the night. We now arrive at the most ticklish point, to rob and take our ease, to be thieves and lie by it. Look to it, lads. It concerns every man's gullet. I'll not have the jest spoiled, that's certain, though it hazard a windpipe. I'll either go like a lord as I came, or be hanged like a thief as I am. And that's my resolution.
A match, Captain, of all hands.
Master Penitent Rothwell.
Oh, what is this, sweet Lady Gulman, that so seizes on me with rapture and admiration to get me out of bed?
Wherein I know sighs would not let you sleep. You love that woman, Master Harebrain's wife, which no means can crown with freedom for your desires and her own wish but this, which in my slumbers did present itself.
I'm covetous, lady.
You know her husband, lingering in suspicion, locks her from all society but mine.
Most true.
I only am admitted, yet hitherto that has done you no real good. By my admittance, I cannot perform that deed that should please you. Therefore, I'll counterfeit a fit of violent sickness.
Good. But take me with you, lady. Would it be probable to have a sickness so suddenly violent?
All the world knows women are soon down. We can be sick when we have a mind to it. Catch an ague with the wind of our fans, surfeit upon the rump of a lark, and spend £10 in medicine upon it. We're likest ourselves when we're down. 'Tis the easiest art and cunning for our sex to counterfeit sick, and when I am sick, 'tis certain Mistress Harebrain will visit me as my dearest friend.
How will that benefit me, madam?
You will be disguised as my physician.
I? A physician? Oh, lady, talk not on. I shall not be able to carry it off.
Oh, Tubman, any quack-salving terms will serve for this purpose. You will thus meet Mistress Harebrain and also serve me in a plot of my own. I am haunted by two brothers, Masters Posset and Inez, newly rich, and we shall see how much they will pay to restore my health. Spare them not, for they're good, plump, fleshly asses, and may well enough bear it. You cannot make a strong broth without gold, amber, and dissolved pearl, which they'll pay for. Put but this cunningly in practice, it shall be both a sufficient recompense for all my pains in your love, and the ready means to make Mistress Harebrain available.
I applaud thee. Kiss thee, and will constantly embrace it.
Ho! Oh, Gangwater!
Oh, good, your worship. Let me untie you.
Good, old worship. Untie me, good, honest footman. Now, how didst thou escape the thieves?
By miracle and lying in my clothes in the stable, sir.
Oh, I think so. I would I'd lay in my clothes, too, so I'd escape them. Oh. But nothing afflicts me so much, my poor footman, as that the barbarous villains should lay violence upon my lord. Ah, the binding of my lord cuts my heart in two pieces. So, 'tis well, I thank thee. Run to him whilst you do undo your fellows. Run, do them, undo them, undo them. If I'm not ashamed to look my lord in the face, I'm a Saracen. Who's that? Oh, my lord.
Oh, shame upon my house, my lord, bound upon the bed and covered with sheets and pillows.
Who's there in the chamber?
Good morrow, my lord, tis I.
Oh, Sir Bounteous, good morrow. I will give you my hand, sir, but I cannot. I'm tied. Is this a courtesy of the country, Sir Bounteous?
Oh, your lordship grieves me more than all my loss. It's the unnaturalest sight that can be found to see a noble gentleman hard bound. But see, I am tidy.
I thought you had been better beloved, Sir Bounteous. But I see you've enemies, sir, and your friends fare the worse for them. I like your talk better than your lodging. I ne'er lay harder in bed of dung. I've had a mad night's rest on. Can you guess who the thieves were, Sir Bounteous?
Lincolnshire men, my lord.
Oh, I believe it not, sir. Those thieves came from a closer butter than that.
Thank you, sir, my lord.
Well, I'll be burnt, and they do. Some that knew your house, sir, and are familiar with all the passageways.
Oh, this is the danger of keeping open house, my lord.
They were resolute villains. I made myself known to them, told them what I was, gave them the honourable word not to disclose
it. Oh, saucy, unmannerly villains.
And think you the slaves would trust me upon my word?
Well, they would not.
Forsooth, no! I must pardon them. They told me lords' promises were mortal and commonly die within half an hour after they were spoken.
Oh, insupportable rascal.
Troth, I'm of their mind, Sir Bounteous. You fared the worse for my coming hither.
Sir, it is a house haunted indeed.
A word with you, sir.
No more. Singleton.
I'm sorry, my lord. Your lordship has lost.
What have I lost? Now come and speak.
A good night's sleep, sir.
Say, what have I lost, I say?
A good night's sleep, my lord, nothing else.
Oh, that's true. I go to the privy.
His honour goes to the privy.
Yes, well said. Now come hither. What has my lord lost? Tell me.
His lordship must know that.
Pity, tell me.
It will do you no pleasure to know it, sir.
Yet again I desire it, I say.
Since your worship will needs know it. They've stolen away a jewel in a blue silk riband of £100 price. Besides, some £100 in gold coins.
That's some 200 in the total.
Some 200, sir.
Come follow me. I'll make up that sum. Let not my lord know on.
Oh, pardon me, Sir Bounteous. That were a dishonour to my lord. Should it come to his ear, I should hazard my position by it.
How should it come to his ear? If you be my lord's chief man, I hope you do not speak unless you be paid for it, and I will give you a counsellor's fee to hold your peace. Come, go to, follow me, I say.
You seem bold, guest, Master Harebrain.
You're kindly welcome to my house, good Master Possage, and Master Inez.
Oh, thanks, Master Harebrain.
Wraith?
Here, sir.
Call down your mistress to welcome these two gentlemen, my friends.
I shall, sir.
I will observe her carriage and watch the slippery revolutions of her eye. I lie in wait for every glance she gives, and poise her words in the balance of suspect. If she but tremble, she's gone, either on this hand over familiar, or this too neglectful. It does behove her carry herself even.
But Master Harebrain...
True, I hear you, sir. What was you said?
I have not spoke it yet, sir.
Right, so I say.
Is it not strange that in so short a time my little Lady Gulman should be so violently sick?
Oh, sickness has no mercy, sir. It neither pities ladies' lips nor eye. It crops the rose out of the virgin's cheek, and so deflowers her that was ne'er deflowered. Fools then are made to lock from men that treasure which death will pluck and never yield them pleasure. Gentlemen, that sweet virgin's sickness grieves me not lightly. She was my wife's only delight and company. Did you not hear her, gentlemen, in the midst of her extremest fit, still how she called upon my wife? Remembered still my wife, sweet Mistress Harebrain?
Yes.
When she sent for me, on one side of her bed stood the physician, the notary on the other. Two horrible objects, but complete opposites in the course of their lives, for the notary binds folks, and the physician makes them loose. But as I was telling you, she made her will, wherein I found her best and richest jewel given as a legacy unto my wife. When I read that, I could not refrain weeping. Well, of all other, my wife has most reason to visit her.
Master Harebrain.
Now, sir, where's your mistress?
She desires you and the gentleman your friends to hold her excused. She has a fit of ague now upon her, which begins to shake her.
Where does it shake her most?
All over her body, sir.
shake all her body. 'Tis a saucy fit. I'm jealous of that ague. Pray excuse me, gentlemen. I'll see you instantly.
Sir.
A word with you, sir, if I may. No, they are absent, sir. Tis no such thing.
What?
My mistress has her health, sir, but 'tis her desire she may confine herself from sight of all men but your own dear self, sir. For since the sickness of that modest virgin, her only company, she delights in none.
No. Visit her again. Commend me to her. Tell her they're gone, and only I myself walk here to exchange a word or two with her.
I'll tell her so, sir.
Fool that I am, and madman, beast, what worse? Suspicious or a creature that deserves the best opinion and the purest thought. To doubt her ways, that looks too narrowly into her own defects. I, foolish, fearful, have often rudely, out of giddy flames, barred her those objects which she shuns herself. Thrice I've had proof of her most constant temper. Come I unawares by stealth upon her, I find her circled in with divine pamphlets of heavenly meditations, here and there chapters with leaves tucked up, which, when I see, they either tax pride or adultery. Oh, let me curse myself that could be jealous of her whose mind no sin can make rebellious. And here the unmatched comes. Now, wife, if they're gone. Push, see how fearful it is. Will you not credit me? They're gone, if eh?
Oh.
Why, think you I'll betray you? Come, come. Thy only virtuous friend, thy sweet instructress, Lady Gulman, is violently taken grievous sick, and which is worse, she mends not.
Oh, her friends are sorry for that, sir.
She calls still upon thee, poor soul. Remembers thee still, thy name whirls in her breath. Where's Mistress Harebrain, says she.
Alas, good soul.
Well, she made me weep thrice. She has given thee a jewel in her will.
Even to the last gasp, a kind soul.
Take my man. Go visit her.
Pray pardon me, sir. Alas, my visitation cannot help her.
Oh, yet the kindness of a thing, wife. Take my man, I say.
I would not take your man, sir.
No? Thy reason?
The world's condition is itself so vile, sir, 'tis apt to judge the worst of those deserve not. That man's her lover, says he, her pimp, the t'other. She's a whore, a third, a fourth. I have known her. I've heard this. Oh, not without a burning cheek. Then our attires are taxed. Our very walk is called in question. Where a husband's presence scatters such thoughts and makes them sink for fear into the hearts that breed them. Nay, surely if I went, sir, I would entreat your company.
Mine? Prithee, wife, I have been there already.
That's all one, although you bring me but to the door, sir. I would entreat no farther.
Oh, that's such a wife. Why, I will bring thee thither then, but not go up, I swear.
In faith you shall not. I do not desire it, sir.
Why then content?
Give me your hand, you will do so, sir.
Why, there's my lip, I will.
Oh. Why then, I go, sir.
Oh, with me you're no man. Incomparable, such a woman.
Oh. Arrange the jars, files, and medicines on the table beside my bed there, Master Penitent.
Lady, this one's Sir Bounteous Progress, newly alighted from his mare, waits at door, as the fashion is.
See, 'tis the knight that privately keeps me. He's my sole revenue, meat, drink, and raiment. Oh. Remember, you now look like a true high-sounding physician. Oh. Act like one. Work upon him. I'm weak.
Oh, enough. Here comes Sir Bounteous. Oh.
Why, where be these ladies, these plump, soft, delicate creatures, huh?
Who would you visit, sir?
Visit? And who are you, sir, with a plague in your mouth?
A physician, sir.
Oh, Sir Bounteous.
Oh, now. In bed, lady.
Oh, sweet Sir Bounteous.
Oh, passion of me, what an alteration here. Heart sick, lady. Here's a sight able to make an old man shrink. I was lusty when I came in, but I'm down now, i'faith. Mortality, yea, this puts me in mind of a hole 7 foot deep. My grave. Yes, Master Doctor, a word. Sir, hark, it is not the plague, is it?
No.
Oh, good.
He now asks whether it be the pox or no, and of the two, that had been the more likely.
How now, my Francesca? How dost?
Oh, weak knight. Oh.
Where does it hold thee most, wench?
Oh, all parts alike, sir.
Hark, in thine ear. Thou'rt breeding of young bones. I'm afraid I've got thee with child, if they.
I fear that much, sir.
Oh, if it should. A young progress when all's done.
Oh, you have done your goodwill, sir.
I see by her it is nothing but a surfeit of Venus, i'faith, and though I be old, I've given it to her. But since I have the power to make thee sick, I'll have the money to make thee whole, that's certain. Master Doctor.
Sir?
Let's hear, I pray, what is to minister to her.
Mary, sir, some precious cordial, some costly restorative, a composure comfortable and restorative.
Aye, that.
No poorer ingredients than the liquor of coral, clear amber or succinum, unicorn's horn, 6 grains, magisterial pilarum, 1 scruple.
Ah.
Ossis de corde cervi, 0.5 scruple, arum portabile or his tincture.
Very precious, sir.
All which being finely compounded and mixed in a stone or glass mortar with the spirit of diamond.
Nay, be patient, sir.
That's impossible. I cannot be patient and physician too, sir.
Oh, cry your mercy. That's true, sir.
All of which are for sale.
Aye, sir.
When it is almost essiccate, or dry, I add that to oleo zucchini, oleo massy, and cinnamon.
Oh, good. Well, be of good cheer, Francesca. There's gold for thee. That I want for nothing, Master Doctor.
Oh.
A poor kinswoman of mine, nature binds me to have a care for her. Gather up a good spirit, wench, the fit will pass. I have fitted her, an old knight and a cock of the game still. I have not spurs for nothing, I see. Well, look to her, good Master Doctor. Let her want for nothing. I've given her enough already.
There he's
gone.
How soon he took occasion to slip into his own flattery, soothing his own defect. He only fears he has done that deed which I ne'er feared to come from him in my life.
Mist, I have footsteps.
It is the brothers, Ines and Percy. They're welcome, they bring money. Oh!
Master Doctor.
Gentlemen.
How does she now?
Oh, faith, much after one fashion, sir.
There's hope of life, sir.
Oh.
I see no signs of death in her.
Oh, that's some comfort. Will she take anything?
Oh, yes, she'll take still. She has a kind of facility in taking. How comes your lace ruff bloody, sir?
You see, I have a scab on my neck, sir.
Diversa genera scabierum, as Pliny reports. There are diverse kinds of scabs.
Oh, pray, let's hear them, sir.
An itching scab, that is your harlot. A sore scab, your usurer. Uh-huh. A running scab, your informer. Uh-huh.
But a white scab, that's a knave and a panda.
You physicians are mad, gentlemen.
We physicians see the most sights of any man living. Your astronomers look upward into the air. We look downward into the body.
Lady, how cheer you now?
Oh, the same woman still.
Oh, that's not good. Here's money for thy health.
Fie. You have been too lavish, gentlemen.
Oh, talk not of that, lady. Thy health's worth a million. Here, Master Doctor, spare for no cost.
You have the advantage of me now, but if ever I live, I will requite it deeply.
Oh, tush. We'll requite ourselves well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mistress Harebrain, lady, is setting forth to visit you too.
Huh? Oh!
That brings forth the birth of all my joys and wishes. But see the jar now. How shall I rid these from her?
Pray, gentlemen, stay not above an hour from my sight.
We are not going, lady.
A word with you, gentlemen.
Doctor?
She wants but rest. 1 hour's sleep, gentlemen, would set all parts in tune.
What? Get her to sleep, Master Doctor.
Yes.
We'll both sit here and watch by her.
Hell's angels, watch you.
arts. No art can get him to go.
Master Doctor! Master Doctor!
Ladies!
Your physic works. Give me your hand. My bowels!
Oh.
My bowels! Oh. Get me to the joints so quick, sir! Oh.
Thank you, Master Doctor!
Let me admire thee. The wit of man wanes and decreases soon, but women's wit is ever at full moon.
Mistress Hairbrain, there shot a star from heaven. I dare not yet behold my happiness. The splendor is so glorious and so piercing.
Mistress Hairbrain, your wishes are in sight, your opportunity spacious.
If you could hear a word from me, my husband brought me. He's outside the door. Jealousy is prick-eared and will hear the wagging of a hare.
You are a faint liver. Trust yourself with your pleasure and me with your security. Go into the inner room.
The fullness of my wish.
Of my desire.
Beyond this sphere, I never will aspire.
See those into the inner chamber. Now, to continue the play for Master Hairbrain's benefit.
I listen outside poor Lady Gulman's door as she draws nigh her end. At such a time women exchange their secrets and ransack the close corners of their hearts. What many years hath whelmed, this hour imparts.
Pray, sit down, good Mistress Hairbrain. This was kindly done. Oh, give me your hand. Oh, alas! How cold you are!
Oh.
As kind is your husband.
Oh.
Love him, honor him, stick by him.
Yes.
He lets you want nothing that fits for a woman.
And so I do, if faith is right, my humor.
Oh, no. Lay your hand here, Mistress Hairbrain. Aye, there. Oh, there. There lies my pain, the good gentlewoman. Oh, sore. Oh, I can scarce endure your hand upon it.
Poor soul, how she's tormented.
Will you be going, then?
Fall back, she prepares to leave.
Thanks, good Mistress Hairbrain. Pray commend me to the good gentleman, your husband. And to my uncle Winchcombe. And to my aunt Litsalve. And to my cousin Lickett. And to my cousin Horseman. And to all my good cousins in Clerkenwell and St. John's.
Mistress Hairbrain and Master Pendleton, talk low. At 3 days' end, my husband takes a journey.
Oh, thence I derive a second meeting.
Oh. Mm. Once again, health, rest, and strength to thee, sweet Lady Gulman. Good Master Doctor, have a care to her body.
Farewell, sweet Mistress Hairbrain.
Oh, welcome, sweet wife. Never was hour spent better.
Why, were you within hearing, sir?
Aye, that I was, i'faith, to my great comfort.
Oh.
I deceived you there, wife. I do entreat thee, nay, order thee, wife, upon my love, oftener to visit this sick, virtuous maid.
Be not so fierce. Your will shall be obeyed.
Oh, why then I see thou lovest me.
Was not well managed, Morwell? Did the plot want either life or art?
'Twas well, Captain.
I'm sure my grandsire ne'er got his money worse in his life than I got it from him. If ever he did cheat the simple, why, I was born to revenge their quarrel. If ever oppressed the widow, I, a fatherless child, have done as much for him. And so 'tis through the world, either in jest or earnest. Let the usurer look foot, for craft recoils in the end, like an overcharged musket, and maims the very hand that puts fire to it. My grandfather, thinking in his conscience that we had not robbed him enough all night, must needs pity me in the morning and give me the rest.
£200!
I knew I could not sleep quietly till he had paid me for robbing of him too. 'Tis his humour, and the humour of most of you rich men in the course of their lives. For, you know, they always feast those mouths that are least needy, and give them more that have too much already.
How now, Captain?
A cold fit that comes over my memory.
What's that, sir?
Is it for certain, Morwell, that my grandfather keeps a mistress?
Aye, that's too true.
So much the worse for me. She'll spend a third of his money, at least.
Mm.
Nay,
I've known a vicious old thought-acting father, damned only in his dreams, thirsting for game, when his best parts hung down their heads for shame, for his blanched harlot dispossess his son and make the pox his heir. 'Twas gravely done. How much thou first knowledge, Aunt Lieutenant?
Faith, from discourse. I could not get her name.
Well, thou dull slave, the neck of spite.
But the manner of her coming was
how
described.
How is the manner, prithee?
Alighting. She's privately received by Master Gunwater.
Well, my grandfather's chief gentleman of the chain of gold.
Then is your grandfather whispered at the ear, the key given secretly, she closely conveyed into his closet, there remaining till he send down for some hot restorative drink to spice his performance.
Mm-hmm. Think of it, I have to.
I know, sir.
Well, give me scope and hear me, Master Hoboy. I have begot that means which will both furnish me and make that mistress sink in his estimation.
That was double happiness, to put thyself into money and her out of favour.
And all at one dealing.
But I long to see that hand play.
Morwen, step behind yon hanging. There hangs the lower part of a gentlewoman's gown with a mask and a muffler. Bring all this way.
But pretty, what will that do with a gentlewoman's lower part?
Why, use it.
What will you do now, sir?
Come, thou shalt see a woman quickly made up here.
Oh, but that's against nature, Captain. And they're always long at making ready.
And it's not most they do against nature, I pretty. Yeah.
You have on the skirt, Captain. But what about the bodice, the upper part?
I see now thou art an ass. I'm ready.
Ready?
Why, the doublet serves as well as the best, and is most in fashion. We're all mailed to the middle, mankind from the beaver to the bum. 'Tis an Amazonian time, you shall have women shortly tread their husbands. I shall have a couple of long locks of hair. Prithee, Lieutenant, find them for me.
Thou art as mad a piece of clay.
Clay! Dost call thy captain Clay? Indeed, clay was made to stop holes, he says true. Did not I tell you, rascals, you should see a woman quickly made up?
Oh, swear for it, Captain. You are a woman, sure.
Come, my mask and my muff.
There.
Let me see. Where shall I talk your little pimps now? Well, then, my mistress, you had best take care for me, and guard me sure. I give you warning beforehand. Tis a lecture of these.
Fear not, Captain. There's none here but can fight well for a whore.
Well, then, step forward. And as you scorn 2 shilling brothels, 12 penny panderisms, and such base bribes, guard me, you bonny, dirty lady.
Hang him, we will, Captain. Hang him, we will.
Why now, Master Gunwater, what's the news? With your haste?
I have a thing to tell your worship.
Oh, I pretty tell me, speak, man. Miss Francesca come?
She's come, sir.
Recovered, well and sound again.
That's to be feared, sir.
Why, sir?
She wears a linen cloth about the lower part of her face. Perhaps she covers pox sores or measles.
No, a linen cloth, the fashion, you horse and Gunwater.
The fashion?
Aye, our age is hardened now and put oftener in the fire. Tough the pox is as natural now as an ague in the springtime. Here, now take this key. You know what duties belong to it. So give order for a hot cordial. Let there be a good fire made in the natty chamber. Do you hear, sir?
I know my office, sir.
An old man's lechery is very burdensome, my masters. There's much cookery belongs to it.
Master Gunwater thought I was Sir Bounteous' mistress. If I remain masked, I can carry this disguise. He comes back.
Come, lady. You know where you are now.
Yes, good Master Gunwater.
This is the old closet, you know.
I remember it well, sir.
There stands a casket. I would my yearly revenue were but worth the wealth that locked in it, lady. Yet I have £50 a year, wench.
Besides your apparel, sir.
Yes, faith have I.
But then you reckon your chain, sir.
No, but my troth do I not neither. Faith, if you consider me rightly, sweet lady, you might admit a choice gentleman into your service.
Oh,
sir, come, you do but hinder your fortune, faith. I have command of all the house. I can tell you nothing comes into the kitchen but comes through my hands.
Pray, do not handle me, sir.
Your faith, you are too coy, lady. And as for my secrecy, you know I vowed it often to you.
Vowed it? No, you may.
Tickle!
Tickle's foot by me, lady.
Why, I bind you by virtue of this chain to meet me tomorrow at the Flower de Luce tavern yonder between 9 and 10.
I leave my chain in token of my promise that if I do not come, lady, let me lose it, thy love, and my best fortunes.
Well, now I'll try you. Get you!
Farewell, sweet lady.
By my faith, I perceive by his action towards the middle region there has been some saucy, nibbling motion, and no doubt the cunning mistress waited but for her prey. I'll teach the slave to be so bold yet as once to offer to vault into his master's saddle. Now, Casket, by your leave, I've seen your outside off, but that's no proof. Some have fair outsides that are worth nothing. By my faith, diamond, ruby, sapphire. If I do not wonder how the mistress escaped tempting, I'm an hermaphrodite. Well, it is better as it is. This is the fruit of old grunting lechery. Oh, fie! In your crinkling days, uncle, to keep a courtesan to hinder your grandchild. It is against nature, I faith, and I hope you'll be weary on't. Now to my villains that lurk close below. Who keeps a harlot? Tell him this for me. He needs nor thief, disease, nor enemy.
Ah, oh, methink I feel myself well toasted, bombasted, rubbed, and refreshed. But, in faith, I cannot forget to think how soon sickness has altered Lady Gulman to my taste. I gave her a kiss at the bottom of the stairs, and by the mass methought her breath had much ado to be sweet, like a thing compounded of wine, beer, and tobacco. I smelt much pudding in it. I promised to meet her in this room. How dost thou now, sweet girl? What? Well recovered? Sickness quite gone, huh? Francesca? Why, body of me, what is here? My casket wide open, broke open, my jewels stolen, gunwater!
Anon, anon, sir. Yes, Sir Bounteous.
Where is this creature?
What creature is you'd have, sir?
The worst that ever breathes.
That's a wild boar, sir.
That's a vile horse, sir. Where didn't thou leave our rascal?
Where I was wont. Here in your worship's closet.
No, a pox in gross, sir. See you this casket, sir. Empty, sir.
My chain, my one and only chain.
Well, thou runst to much purpose now, Gunwater. Yea, a thieving mistress. Nay, I have done with her. To the sign she's been sick or late, for she's been a great deal worse than she was. By my troth, I would have pawned my life upon her. What did she want for anything? Was she not supplied, nay, and liberally? For that's an old man's sin. We'll feast our lechery, though we starve our kind. Is not my name Sir Buntius? Fie. But I perceive, though she have never so complete a friend, a strumpet's love will have a bad taste in the end, and distaste the vessel. Oh, I can hardly bear this. Say I should complain. Sfoot, the judges will but laugh at it. Make the old fellow pay for his lechery. That's all the men's are get. Well, I've seen the same case tried at Newbury the last assizes. Oh, well. Things must slip and sleep. But whilst I live, I'll neither love nor trust her. I've done with her, if faith.
I read that piece again. Adultery draws the divorce twixt heaven and the soul.
Oh, accursed man that stands divorced from heaven, thou wretched unthrift that has played away thy eternal portion for a minute's game, to please the flesh has blotted out thy name. Where were thy nobler meditations busied that they durst trust this body with itself, this natural drunkard that undoes us all and makes our shame apparent in our fall? Then let my blood pay for't, and vex and boil. My soul, I know, would never grieve to the death the eternal spirit that feeds her with his breath.
Nay, I, that knew the price of life and sin, what crown is kept for continence, what for lust, the end of man and glory of that end, as endless as the giver, to dote on weakness, slime, corruption, woman. What is she? Took asunder from her clothes. Being ready, she consists of 100 pieces, much like your German clock, and near allied. They'll strike to 10 when they should stop at 1. Within these 3 days, the next meeting's fixed. If I meet then, hell and my soul be mixed. Sin's hate is the best gift that sin bestows. I'll ne'er embrace her more. Never. Bear witness, never.
Celestial soldiers guard me. Smoke from the fiery pit. And there, there, a figure forms. A devil in female guise.
How now, man? Lass, did the quickness of my presence fright thee?
Oh, shield me, ye ministers of faith and grace.
Leave, leave. Are you not ashamed to use such words to a woman?
Not a devil.
A devil? Yeah. Feel, feel, man. Has a devil flesh and bone?
I conjure thee by that dreadful power.
Was I enticed for this to be so soon rejected? Come, what has changed thee so delight?
Away!
Remember.
Leave my sight!
Have I this meeting wrought with cunning, which when I come I find thee shunning? Rouse thy amorous thoughts and twine thee. All my body I resign thee. Other man? Or dost abuse one, a love, and knows not how to use one? Come, I'll teach thee.
Do not follow.
One so firm, and now so hollow. When was place and season sweeter? Thy bliss in sight and death not meeter. Where's thy courage, youth, and vigour? Love's best pleased when 'tis seized with rigour. Season me then with veins most cheerful. Women love no flesh that's fearful.
Torment it not.
Oh,
Fury! Devil, I do conjure thee once again by that soul-quaking thunder to depart and leave this chamber free from thy damned heart.
Gone. Oh, my sin-shaking sinews. But now I think on't. Was very like Mistress Harebrain. Yes, 'twas Mistress Harebrain out to trick me. Jasper! Jasper!
Sir?
Is Mistress Harebrain gone?
Who, sir? Mistress Harebrain?
Is she gone, I say?
Gone? Why, she was never here.
No?
No, sir.
Art sure, aunt?
Sure, aunt? If I be sure, I breathe and am myself.
Where were you?
In the next room, sir.
Well, why, she crept by thee, man.
A gentlewoman creep by me, and I not hear her. Foot, one might hear the ruffling of their bums almost an hour before we see them.
Ah, when men's intents are wicked, their guilt haunts them.
What call you this? He dreams of women, and both his eyes open.
Who is that knocks?
A friend!
Oh, what's your will, Master Pennington?
Is not the hairbread at home?
No, newly gone from it, sir.
Where's his wife?
Within, sir.
When came she in, Effie?
Oh, my mistress. Mm. She is not out these 2 days, to my knowledge.
Oh, I thought I'd seen her. I would request a word with her.
Oh, tell us, sir.
I thank you. It grows worse and worse.
Why, how no, sir? It was desperately adventured. I didn't look for you until tomorrow.
No? Why, what made you come to my chamber then, even now?
I? To your chamber?
Pah, dissemble not. Come, come. You were there.
By my life, you wrong me, sir.
What?
Well, first, you are not ignorant what watch is kept on me. And for your chamber, as I live, I know it not.
Burst into sorrow, then, and grief's extremes, whilst I beat on this flesh.
Oh, what disturbs you, sir?
Then was the devil in your likeness there.
Oh!
The very devil assumed thee formerly. That face, that voice, that gesture, that attire, ears it sits on thee, not a pleat altered. That hatband, the colour of that periwig, the farthingale above the navel, all as if the fashion were its own invention.
What shall become of me? My own thoughts doom me.
Be honest. Then the devil will ne'er assume thee. He has no pleasure in that shape to abide where these two sisters reign not, lust or pride. Oh. He as much trembles at a constant mind as looser flesh at his. Be not dismayed. Soul, spring for joy. His policies are betrayed. Forgive me, Mistress Harebrain. On my soul the guilt hangs double. My lust and thy enticement. Both I claim, and therefore of due vengeance it appeared to none but me, to whom both sins inhered. What knows the lecher when he clips his whore, whether it be the devil that his parts adore?
Ah, Master Penitent Brothel and my wife talking together. They do not notice me. I'll listen a while.
Live honest and live happy. No. Keep thy vows, Mistress Harebrain. She's part a virgin whom but one man knows. Embrace thy husband, and beside him none. Having but one heart, give it but to one.
Oh, I vow it on my knees, with tears true bread. No man shall ever wrong my husband's bed.
Rise, I'm thy friend forever.
I thine forever and ever. Let me embrace thee, Master Penitent, whom I will love even next unto my soul, and that's my wife. Two dear rare gems this hour presents me with, a wife that's modest and a friend that's right. Idle suspect and fear, now take your flight.
A happy inward peace crown both your joys.
Thanks above utterance to you.
What news? Sir Bounteous Progress invites you and my mistress to a feast on Tuesday next.
Return both with our willingness and thanks.
Aye.
I will entreat you, sir, to be my guest.
Who, I, sir?
Faith, you shall.
No, sir, I am ill.
Oh, let my wife minister to you. She will cure you of all your fevers.
Indeed I will, sir. If you will let me.
I will think on it. Indeed.
Francesca, why so coy, so straight? Come, come.
Pray change your opinion, Master Follywood. I am not for that use.
When you would hear me.
I shall hear that I would not.
But this is strange. I've seldom seen a wench stand upon stricter points. Life she will not endure to be courted. But does she ever think to prosper? I'll never believe the tree can bring forth fruit that never bears a blossom. Courtship's a blossom, and often brings forth fruit in 40 weeks. Shall I be madder now than ever I've been? I'm in the way, faith. Man's never at high height of madness full until he doth love. I do protest in earnest, I never knew at which end to begin to affect a woman till this bewitching minute. I ne'er saw face worth my love till mine eye met hers. I should laugh, but I'm caught, your faith. I'll see her again, that's certain, whate'er comes on.
You're welcome, sir.
Know you the young gentlewoman of this house?
I have best cause to know her. I'm her mother, sir.
In good time. I like the gentlewoman well. A pretty contrived beauty.
Aye, nature has done her part, sir.
But she's got one uncomely quality.
What's that, sir?
I suppose she's afraid of a man.
Alas, impute that to her bashful spirit. She's fearful of her honour.
Of her honour?
Sid, I'm sure I cannot get her maidenhead with breathing upon her, nor can she lose her honour in her tongue.
True, and I have often told her so. But what would you have of a foolish virgin, sir? I tell you, sir, I need not have been in this solitary estate that I am, had she had grace and boldness to put herself forward. Always timorsome, always backward. That same foolish honour of hers has undone her and me both, good gentlemen. The suitors, the jewels that has been offered her. We'd have been made women forever, but she would not endure the sight of a man, forsooth, but run and hide herself.
Have you not so much power with her to command her presence?
You shall see what I can do, sir.
Would I might be hanged if my love does not stretch to her deeper and deeper. Those bashful maiden humours take me prisoner. When there comes a restraint out upon flesh, we are almost most greedy upon, and that makes a merchant's wife oftentimes pay so dear for a mouthful. Give me a woman as she was made at first, simple of herself, without sophistication, like this wench. I cannot abide them when they've tricks, set speeches, and artful entertainments. You shall have some so impudent they will make a man blush first and talk him into silence. And this is counted manly in a woman. Womanly it is not. No. If e'er I love or anything move me, 'twill be a woman's simple modesty.
Pray let me go. No. Why, what do you mean? I beseech you, mother. Great glory it is to overcome a poor and defenceless virgin.
Wonder of our time sits in that brow. I ne'er beheld a perfect maid till now.
Thou childish thing. More bashful than thou wise. Why dost thou turn aside and drown thine eyes? Why, I durst pawn my life. The gentleman means no other but honest and pure love to thee. How say you, sir?
By my faith, not I, lady.
Hark you there. What think you now, forsooth? What grieves your honour now? Or what lascivious breath intends to rear up against that maiden organ, your chaste ear? Repent you now of your past opinion. Men love as purely as you can be chaste. To her yourself, sir. The way's broke before you. You have the easier passage.
Fear not. Francesca, come. Erect thy happy graces in thy look. I love thee honourably.
How mean you that, sir?
What as one loves a woman for a wife?
Has the gentleman answered you, Charles?
I do confess it truly to you both. My estate is sickly, but I've a grandfather will make me lord of thousands at his death.
I know your grandfather well. She knows him better.
Why then you know it is no fiction?
Nay, daughter, he says true.
What, is the marriage match?
Oh, sir.
Be clap hands and lips, Francesca.
'Tis done. There's witness to your betrothal.
Mother, I salute you.
Thanks, sweet son. Son, Follywit, come hither. If I might counsel thee, we'll e-take her while the good mood's upon her. Send for a priest and solemnize the marriage within this hour.
By my troth, agreed, mother.
Nor does her wealth consist all in her flesh. Though beauty be enough wealth for a woman, she brings a dowry of £300 with her.
What? That will serve till my grandfather dies. I warrant you he'll drop away at fall of leaf.
Oh, son, he's a lusty old gentleman.
A part? He's given to women. He keeps a mistress at this present.
Fine.
Do not tell my wife, aunt.
That were needless, if faith.
He makes a great feast upon the 11th of this month, Tuesday next. I have one more trick to put upon him. My wife and yourself shall go thither before as my guests and prove his entertainment. I'll meet you there at night. The jest will be that feast which he makes will, unknown to him, serve fitly for our wedding dinner. We shall be royally furnished, right?
An excellent course, i' faith, and thrifty. Why, son, methinks you begin to thrive before you're married.
We shall thrive one day, wench, if we embrace enough. Between our hopes there's but a grandfather's breath, a kiss, and then goodbye, sweet.
So, girl, here was a bird well caught, if ever here.
But what of his grandfather? It'll scarce please him.
Who covets fruit never cares from whence it fell. Thou's wedded youth and strength and wealth will fall. Last, thou'rt made honest.
And that's worth them all.
Have a care, servants. Stir yourself, Master Gunwater, and cast an eye into the kitchen. Every Jack has his friend today. This cousin and that cousin put in for a dish of meat. A man knows not till he make a feast how many varlets he feeds. Acquaintances swarm in every corner like flies at Bartholomew Fair. Foot, I think they smell my kitchen 7 mile about. Ah, Master Hairbrain and his sweet bedfellow, Mistress Hairbrain, you're very copiously welcome.
Sir, here's an especial dear friend of ours, Master Penitent Brothel. We were bold to ask him to your table.
Oh, thanks for that boldness, good Master Hairbrain. Compendiously, sir, you're welcome.
In octavo, I thank you, sir.
Oh, excellently retorted, i'faith. He's welcome for his wit. I have my sorts of greetings and know how to place them courtly. Walk in, sweet gentleman, walk in. There's a good fire in the hall. You shall have my sweet company instantly.
Aye, good Sir Bartius.
Sir, how now? What brings thee in stumbling now?
There are certain player-actors come to town, sir, and desire to play before your worship.
Player-actors? By the mass, they are welcome. They'll grace my entertainment well. But for certain play-actors, there thou lies, boy. They were never more uncertain in their lives. Now up, now down, they know not when to play, where to play, nor what to play. Nor when to play for fearful fools, where to play for Puritan fools, nor what to play for critical fools. Go, call them in.
Marlborough and Hoboy, your disguise hold. You look like play actors. The very soul of falsehood.
And you, sweet Captain Falsebeard.
A false nose.
False eye.
Aye, that. My eye is still whole under it.
The servant returns.
How fitfully the horse and play actors come upon my feast. I was wishing for them. My star is in the ascendant.
The actress, my lord.
The month of May delights not in her flowers more than we joy in that sweet sight of yours.
Ah, well acted, Hermit Credit. I perceive you are the best actor.
I am he, sir. I'm also manager, and I own the company and certain properties in the city.
What? What? Oh, no, put on your hat, sir, I pray you. Put it on. Wealth must be respected. Let those that have least feathers stand bare. And, who is your patron, pray? Nay, keep your hat on still.
We serve my lord Omut.
Oh, my lord, oh, Max, by my troth, the welcomest men alive. Give me all your hands at once. That honourable gentleman, he lay at my house for a robbery once. I made a very good feast for him. I never saw a man of honour bear things bravelier. Serve my lord, oh, Max, welcome, i'faith. Some wine for my lord's players. Aye, and what play should we have, my masters?
Pleasant, witty comedy, sir.
Aye, a comedy that I, my guests, may laugh a little. Well, what's the name on't?
'Tis called The Slip.
The Slip? By my croth, a pretty name and a glib one. Go all and slip into it as fast as you can. Cover a table for the players, some sherry for my lord's players there, sirrah. Why, this will be a true feast, fit to grace the Mitre Tavern, a supper, a play, and all.
We go to prepare, sir.
More lights. Oh, I called for light, and here Lady Galman and her mother come in, two who are light enough for a whole house, in face. Dare the thief look me in the face, oh, impudent times.
Bless you, Sir Bartius.
Oh, welcome, welcome, thief. Mistress and board, welcome all three.
Nay, here's but two of us, sir.
Oh, by my troth, I took your daughter for a couple. I'd have sworn she had two faces.
Not all under one hood, sir.
Yes, Faith.
I'll make it true, sir. My daughter is a couple. She was married yesterday.
Buzz, buzz.
Nay, to no butler neither. A right hawk.
Well, he cannot be but a rascal. Oh, walk in, mother that comes unsent for. Box, Francesca. I perceive how my jewels went now to grace your marriage.
Would you with me, sir?
Aye. And how hapt it, wench? You put the step upon me not 3 nights since. I name it gently to you. I term it neither pilfer, cheat, nor theft.
You're past my understanding.
I'm old and past your understanding. Very good. But you will not deny this, I trust.
With a safe conscience, sir, I deny it.
Yeah? Oh, give me thy hand. Now get thee in and join thy mother. I have done with you.
Give me your hand, sir. You ne'er yet begun with me.
Oh, audacious age. She denies me and all, when on her fingers I spied my own ruby ring that does betray her and blushes for her face. Oh, well, there's a time for it. And there's all too little now for entertainment. Feast, mirth, aye, harmony and the play to boot. A jovial season. How now? Are you ready with the play?
Ready, sir, but... We would be bold to require your worship's assistance.
Oh, why? With all my heart. What is it you want? Speak.
One's a chain for the actor playing the justice, sir.
Oh, why? Here, Horson. Will this gold chain serve your turn? Now, what else lack you?
We could use a ring with a stone in.
Nay, Whoop, I've given too many rings already. Talk no more of rings, I pray you. Here. Make this jewel serve for once.
This will serve, sir.
What, have you all now?
All now, sir. Only an actor plays Father Time in the middle of the play, and I would desire your worship's watch.
My watch? Mm. Well, with all my heart. Only give Father Time a charge that he's not fiddling with it.
Oh, you shall never see that, sir.
Well, now you are furnished, sir. Make haste.
In as fast as I can, sir. I'll set my fellows going first. I'll stay and speak a prologue, which will give them time to escape with whatever they can steal. I cannot have consciously faith to go away and speak near a word to the guests.
More lights, more stools. Sit, the play begins.
Oh, have you players here, Sir Bounty?
We have them for you, sir. Fine, nimble comedians. Proper actors, most. An honourable, popular gentleman, my Lord Omuch.
My Lord Omuch? He was in Ireland.
Oh, he's a great traveller.
What is the comedy called, Sir Bounty?
The Slip.
The Slip?
Aye, here's the actor. The prologue begins to slip in upon us.
Tis so indeed, Sir Bounty.
We sing of wandering knights, what them betide, who nor in one place nor one shape abide. The play which we present, no fault shall meet but one. You'll say 'tis short, we'll say 'tis sweet. 'Tis given much to dumb shows, which some praise, and like the law, delights much in delays. So to conclude, and give the name her due, the play being called The Slip, I vanish too.
Excellently well acted and ingenious.
Yes, the prologue's pretty, eh?
And went off well.
On the truth, if I were not married, I could find in my heart to fall in love with that player now and send for him for supper.
But to passion of me, where be these knaves? Will they not come back? He thinks they stay very long.
Oh, you must bear a little, sir. They have many changes of costume.
He's come back.
A pox on such fortune. The plot's betrayed. All will come out. A constable has arrested Hoboy and Morworm on suspicion and brought them back. I was accursed to challenge society with such costumes. What's to be done? I shall be shamed forever. My wife here watching me and all. A pox! By light, happily thought upon. The gold chain. Invention? Stick to me this once and fail me ever hereafter. So, I'll walk about the stage, lost in thought.
Ah, how moodily he walks. What part plays he now?
A justice, upon my credit. I know by the chain there. He's a justice of the peace.
Unfortunate justice!
I was right, sir.
In thy kin, unfortunate, here comes the nephew, now upon suspicion, brought by a constable before thee, his wild associate with him. But so disguised, none knows him but myself. Twice have I set him free from officer's manacles, and for his sake, his accomplices too. Let him look to it.
My conscience will permit but one wink more.
Yeah, shall we take justice winking?
I have the fortune to work thy freedom, though hazarding myself. Should the law seize him, being kin to me, should blemish much my name. No, I'd rather lean to danger than to shame. Here comes the constable. With my nephews, two wretched accomplices.
No, that actor looks like the very picture of a constable, and those other two play villains to the life.
Thank you, good neighbours. I am the constable.
Who's that? Hollywood? Hollywood? Dare he sit there? Dare he be so easy? More room when all's lost. We are taken by the law.
Oh, now, constable, what news with thee?
May it please your worship, Sir Bounteous, I have caught this breach of suspicious fellows.
Well, don't address me. Oh, turn to the justice, you horse and booby. This is some new player now. They put all their fools to the constable's part still.
A most inexperienced player, Sir Bounteous, you're right.
What's the matter, constable? What's the matter?
I have nothing to say to your worship. When I took them, they were all riding a horseback, Sir Bounteous.
Talking to me yet again, a pox of all asses still. They could not ride any other way unless they were in a bawdy house.
The ostler told me they were all villainous fellows, Sir Bounteous.
Oh, I died the fellows, drunk!
Oh boy, more one. Always follow you, Captain. Your play actors.
We spied that weakness in him long ago, sir. Your worship must have been with him. The man's much drunk.
Oh, much drunk.
Oh, only because we respect his office did we let him arrest us. We are certain we shall be cleared of all offences. But I declare, sir, he did find us a horseback.
Do you use a gentleman before us for riding away? What, will you have a standstill? Are you with steeped in wine? I'll make you an example of all giddy constables. I'll have you with justice. Here, bind him to this sheriff.
Oh, bind me, Edgar!
They've gagged the fool. By my troth, the maddest piece of justice, gentlemen, the devil was committed.
The madness of it, sir.
I am deceived if this prove not a merry comedy and a witty one.
And then poor customer, his mouth open, and there, wise words.
He seems wisest when he gapes and says nothing. He turns and tells his tale to me like an ass. I mean, what have I to do with that riding away?
Some of the actors should come back before this time. Pity it comes.
By the mass, you say true, sir. Go, Gunwater. I think they have forgot themselves. Call the knaves back.
Yes, your worship.
Half the constable says, aye, aye, aye. How now, Gunwater?
Alas, and please your worship, there's not one of the play actors found, sir.
What says the fellow?
Neither horse nor man, sir.
Body of me, thou liest.
Not a hair of either, sir.
How now, Sir Mountius?
Cheated and defeated. Ungag that rascal, I'll hang him in place of his accomplices.
Did not I tell your worship this before? Brought him before you for suspected persons. Talk to my very jawbone aches. Your worship would not hear me. Called me ass, saving your worship's presence. Laughed at me.
Huh? I begin to taste it.
Oh, give me leave, give me leave. What, art not thou the constable in the comedy?
In the comedy? Why, I am the constable in the commonwealth, sir.
What? Well, I am cheated, I am cheated.
I seldom heard jest match it.
Nor I, faith.
Gentlemen, shall I entreat a courtesy?
What is it, sir?
I do not laugh at me years hence.
We shall betray and laugh at our own folly, then.
for of my troth, none here but was deceived.
Oh, faith, that's some comfort yet. It was deftly carried. Troth, I commend thy wits. Before our faces make us asses while we sit still and only laugh at ourselves.
Faith, they were some counterfeit rogues, sir.
Why, they confess so much themselves. They said they played a slip. They were men of their word. I hope the actor, playing justice, will have more conscience, if faith, than to carry away a gold chain worth some £100.
What, sir?
Aye, by my troth, sir. Besides, a jewel and a good fair watch, sir.
But why did you, sir?
Methinks my lord O'Much's players should not scorn me so, if faith. Oh, they will come and bring it all back again, I know. But they will, if faith. It's just a jest, certainly.
Sir Baltius. Yes, Master Follywit, and his friends, Masters Moleworm and Hoboy.
Pray, Grandfather, give me your blessing.
Who? Son Follywit?
I knew you.
Oh, rise, Richard, by a blessing. Thou art welcome.
Thanks, good Grandfather. I was bold to bring those gentlemen, my friends.
Oh, they're all welcome. I'll greet your friends, you greet mine.
Master Follywit, I am Master Harebrain, and this is my wife.
I am glad 'tis our fortune so happily to meet, sir. Sweet Mistress Harebrain.
Sir?
Well, you cannot be too bold, Master Marwarm, or you, Master Hoboy.
Thanks, sir.
Francesca, is our marriage known?
Not a word yet.
The better.
Faith, son, would you have come sooner with these gentlemen?
Why, Grandfather?
No, we had a play here.
A play, sir? No.
Yes, faith, had a pox on the altar.
Why, were they such wild ones, sir?
Villainous ones, sir.
Raw, simple fools.
Thievish knaves. Which way came you, gentlemen? You could not but choose to meet them.
Oh, we met a company carrying hampers.
They've hampered me finely, sirrah.
How, sir?
How, sir? I let the rascals' properties to furnish out their play, a chain, a jewel, and a watch. And they watched their time and rid quite away with them. Hark! Hark, gentlemen, by this light, the watch rings in his pocket. Oh. That sounds like my watch. Oh. Is my watch come again? Whose is? Whose is? By the mass, hast thou one son pretty I wish to look upon it?
Oh, Granddad.
Nay, come with a good will or not at all. Let me see. Pull it out, pull it out. Oh. Aha! A prize, gentlemen.
Great or small?
Chain, jewel, watch, and all mine.
Well, my friend, all have come at once, sir.
A vengeance of this foolery you've done for us all, Captain.
Have I escaped the constable to be captured by the watch?
Have I married a thief, mother?
Comfort thyself. Thou hast been there before him, daughter.
My son, why, gentlemen, how long have you been my lord O'Much's servants, if aid?
Faith, Grandfather, shall I be true to you?
I think it's 'tis time. There's been a thief already.
I, knowing the day of your feast, and the natural inclination you have to pleasure and pastime, presumed upon your patience for a jest, as well as to prolong your day...
Whoop! Why, then you took my chain along with you to prolong my days, did you?
Well, not so, neither. And that you may be seriously assured of my future stableness, I took another course.
What?
Took a wife.
A wife? But what kind of fool is she would marry thee? A madman. Where was the wedding? In Bedlam.
She's both a gentlewoman and a virgin.
Stop, stop there. Might I see her?
You have your wish. Francesca is my wife.
Ha ha, ha ha, this makes amends for all.
How now?
Captain, did you hear? Is she your wife?
How then?
Nothing but pity.
Speak, son, it's true. Can you cheat us and let my mistress cheat you?
Your mistress?
What I have been is past. Be that forgiven and have a soul true both to thee and heaven.
Tricks! Tricks! Tricks are repaid, I see.
There's nothing like marriage to make a woman virtuous, eh, wife?
You are right, husband. Dost not agree, Master Penitent?
I agree with you in everything, sweet lady. Thou knowest too well.
Since I have drunk the top, sirrah, take her, and hark! I spiced the bottom with £1,000.
A thousand? Why, by my troth, she is as good a cup of nectar as any bachelor needs to sip at. Tut, give me gold. It makes amends for vice. Maids without coin are soups without spice.
Come, gentlemen, to the feast. Let not time waste. We've pleased our ear, now let us please our taste. Who lives by cunning, mark it, his fate is cast. When he has cheated all, then is himself the last.
In A Mad World, My Masters, by Thomas Middleton,
The part of Follywit was played by Roy Marsden, Cervantes Progress by James Villiers, and Francesca by Teresa Stretfield. Penitent Brothel was Ian McDermid, Harebrain, Stephen Thorne, Mistress Harebrain, Miranda Forbes, and Francesca's mother, Brenda Bruce. Hoboy, Steve Hodson, Moorworm, Simon Hewitt, Posset, James Kerry, and Inez, Jim Reed. Sir Colwort and Jasper were played by Hugh Dixon, Gunwater and Rafe by Ronald Baddeley, The Footman by David Goodison, and The Constable by Chas Breyer. The play was adapted for radio by Peter Barnes and directed by Penny Gold.